look at these verses together tonight. So as to mention the colors gold, black, red, white, and green, I wonder what comes to your mind. Some of you will maybe have recognized those straight away as the colors of CEF's wordless book, which helped to explain the gospel message. I remember a time when I used that at a holiday Bible club once, and one wee girl put up her hand, and she said that she had heard all this before. She wanted to learn something new. This wee girl, thankfully, was a Christian, and it was great that she wanted to learn more and was eager to learn more of the Bible. But she was mistaken to think that the gospel message was something that she could move on from. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not only preached to save people from their sins, but it's also preached to us as Christians that we would continue to live in light of the gospel and the power of it as we see God working it out in our lives day by day. One writer put it that we don't graduate from the gospel of grace, rather we move more deeply into it over time as we continue to see how profoundly sinful we are, yet how much more profoundly gracious God is. See, this message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is not something that we can graduate from. It's not something we can move on from. It's not only a message that's only for the unsaved. Because you see, the more we understand of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, then the more it brings about that true thankfulness in our lives as we realize all that he has done for us and through his work on the cross. Hopefully we'll see that tonight as Paul prays for these young Christians in Colossae that they would give thanks to the Father. And he gives them a very clear gospel focus in these couple of verses that we're looking at tonight that brings about this attitude of thankfulness. Last week we looked at his prayer, his petition for this young church as he prayed that they would walk in a manner that was worthy of the Lord, that they would continue to be filled with the knowledge of God and have that wisdom and understanding, that they would bear fruit, that they would be strengthened with endurance and patience. And hopefully this past week you have put that into practice as you've prayed for one another throughout this week. But as we come to verse 12 here, Paul's still praying for these Christians. And tonight I want to highlight four areas that bring thankfulness in the Christian life. Four areas. And that's qualified, delivered, transferred, and redeemed. So firstly, we see that word qualified in verse 12 there, where it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm sure most of you are aware that the World Cup, Rugby World Cup, is going on at this time in Japan. And each team in that tournament had to qualify in order to get a place at that tournament. There was one team who thought they had qualified, but they didn't get to Japan. I wonder if you know who that was. I'm sure Jarvis does. It was Romania. You see, they had been found out for fielding ineligible players, players who shouldn't have been on their team, and so they were disqualified. Imagine the shame and the guilt that that must have brought to their country, knowing that they had done wrong and they were no longer qualified to be part of that tournament. Of course, when Paul's talking about qualification here, it's of a much greater outcome than the World Cup. He's talking here about them sharing in the inheritance of the saints in light. The glorious destiny is awaiting for those who believe. But when he talks about these people being qualified to share in that inheritance, he's certainly not talking about them earning their way there. It's not that these people are unqualified and they have to somehow become qualified in their own effort through knowledge or hard work, like someone might be qualified from a degree. That's not what he's saying here. No, to be truly thankful to the Father, we must realize that we are undeserving of that inheritance, that we can't earn it by ourselves, because like that Romanian rugby team, we have been disqualified. We've been disqualified from entering that final destination with the true and living God. Later on in this chapter, in verse 21, if you look at it, Paul says that we were alienated. We were hostile in mind. We were enemies of God because of our sin and our evil deeds. In Romans 3, Paul wrote that none is righteous, no, not one. And also that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But this isn't just the cases of us missing out on something special. See, there's also consequences of this sin and rebellion against a holy and a perfect God. Because those who continue in this way of sin will perish. For the wages of sin is death. They will experience that eternal punishment in hell. Sadly, this is the reality for all who remain disqualified. For all who are outside of Christ, they won't receive that great inheritance. The only way that Romanian rugby team could have entered that competition was if somehow the rugby board, the International Rugby Board, were gracious enough to overturn that ruling, if they somehow decided that they were worthy to enter. It was only them that could make that decision to give them a qualified status. And likewise, the only way that we can receive that eternal inheritance in the kingdom of light is by God being gracious to us and to provide a way for our status to be overturned, to be changed. And the only way that was possible was through the Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son. See, we don't share in that eternal destiny with the saints based on our own qualification, but it's on the qualification of Jesus Christ. And that is so important for us to understand because he is the only one who lived that perfect life on this earth. From his birth to his death, he didn't sin in any way. There was nothing in his thoughts, nothing in his words or deeds that disqualified him from that inheritance. He was completely obedient to the Father as he fulfilled that eternal plan of salvation through his life. And so in his death on the cross, our sin was imputed to him, or it was transferred onto him. And in exchange, we received his perfect, righteous status. Isn't that wonderful? Paul is praying that these Colossians would be thankful because they realize what Christ has done, that he has justified them. He has given them a qualified position. Position in which they will receive this great inheritance. Not based on their own effort, not based on anything they have done, but based on Christ and his work. Surely tonight as we think about that great exchange of how we have been, we're disqualified and made qualified through Christ, it brings about tremendous praise and thanks to God for all he has done in our lives. Secondly then, we see the second aspect that brings about our thankfulness to God, and that is that he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. So he's qualified us, and now he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Not a language he uses here maybe echoes that which is found in Exodus, as those people were freed from slavery in Egypt in the time of Moses. Remember how they were under that rule of Pharaoh, that hard-hearted ruler. And God's people were made to work ruthlessly as slaves. They weren't free to leave as they wanted. And in that reading we read from Exodus 6 and verse 6, God promised that he would deliver them. He says this, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment." We'll come to the redemption part soon, but if we're to think about being delivered from slavery, it gives us an understanding of what Paul is talking about here when we think of that redemption from slavery in Egypt. Because you see, when we're in that disqualified position before receiving Christ, each one of us are slaves to sin. We're under that domain of sin, under that domain of darkness and the power of it. And you see, as slaves in Egypt, God's people were under that power of darkness, under the rule of that evil Pharaoh who held them down. They couldn't go where they wanted. They couldn't do what they pleased. It was oppressive. It was a burden. It was weighing down on their lives. And the same is true for each of us who continue in our sin, who fail to repent and fail to return to Christ. You see, if we are in that position, we are under that slavery to sin. yeah, those in that position, I don't think they like to think of themselves as slaves or under a burden. If anything, they're told that they're actually freer to live that life as they please and to go about and do what they want. Many people actually think that if they became a Christian, well, then that would be more slavish, trying to live to those laws or to live a certain way. And actually, I got chatting to a man recently who I hadn't seen since primary school, and this was sort of the gist of the conversation that came out from talking to him. Whenever, of course, you tell somebody you're in ministry, that gives an opportunity so often for the gospel. And we did get talking about the gospel, and he said to me, I know I need to be saved. But he also said that he couldn't become a Christian because there were things that he didn't want to give up in his life. And talking to him, these things didn't seem like a big issue to me. They didn't seem like things that were really that important. But to him, they were holding him back. He was enslaved by them. Even though he didn't realize that these things were preventing him from coming to Christ, he was held under these powers of whatever it may be, whatever excuse it was. But often when we talk about someone being enslaved to something, we don't think of something trivial, do we? We think of powers of darkness as someone being in this real bad place where something awful has got this grip on their life. And maybe it's carrying out some of those things that's mentioned in chapter 3 of Colossians and verse 5. Things there like sexual immorality, impurity, evil desire, covetousness. I'm sure you're aware of these things going on in the world around us, and the statistics are actually shocking of how many people are enslaved to these things. People enslaved to porn, or people who are unfaithful in their relationships, people who have become addicted to alcohol and to drugs and to any number of things that come under these categories. See, so many people in the world are under the control of these things. Their desires are so enslaved to them, and so often it feels like there's no way out from it. And the longer they continue in, and the tighter those shackles come around them as they're under that grip of sin and the grip of the evil one. But it's not only these big things that Paul talks about there in chapter 3. In verse 8, he also talks about anger and malice and slander, obscene talk and lying. These things are also part of that domain of darkness. Things that are still subject to the power of the evil one. And if someone is under that power, if they're still enslaved to that sin, these things will show in their words that are spoken. Words that come out of their mouth will not be wholesome. There will be things that are not honoring to Christ. I'm sure you can think of many people whose language is atrocious, or people that you couldn't believe a word that comes out of their mouth. It's often a sign that they're still in slavery to that sin. See, Paul, though, is encouraging these Colossian Christians and each one of us who have been justified through Christ to give thanks that we are no longer slaves to that power of sin and darkness. It no longer has that reign over our lives. Because through Christ's substitutionary atonement on the cross and through his resurrection from the dead, Jesus has brought about that victory over sin and over the evil one. And tonight, folks, if you are in Christ, that victory is yours. These things no longer have a hold on you. Of course, there's still challenges, there's still struggles, there's temptations that we face from the evil one. But as 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. To endure it. Isn't that what Paul prayed for them in verse 11 there? He prayed that they would be strengthened so that they would endure. And now he's drawing their focus to Christ because it's only through him that we can endure, through that victory that he has accomplished in his death and resurrection, because he's delivered us from that domain of darkness. And so by the power of his Spirit at work in us, we can resist the devil. We can resist his attacks. We have been given that power to walk in a way that is worthy of the Lord. See, I hope all of us here tonight can give thanks because you know that power of God in your life. that has come through the victory of Christ. That we can resist, we can walk in his ways, resisting those temptations, because we have been given that power over darkness, over sin, over the evil one. So we've been qualified, we've been delivered. Verse 13 then continues to say that we give thanks to the Father because he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We've been transferred. As I was praying there about Syria, and that's, of course, it's been in the news this week with Turkey attacking those regions. But the civil war has seen much brutality over the past number of years. People have been killed, there's been devastation brought all across that country. And one person commented on that, it was recorded in the BBC News this week, they said, "It's like hell. I'm afraid for all my family and everyone I know." This was the reality for so many people in that country who are held under this oppressive regime and under these powers of darkness. But for thousands of people in that country, those who were innocent in the middle of it, who were caught up in the middle of that conflict, they were able to escape as refugees. They were transferred to another part of the world. They were transferred to places even like Northern Ireland where they could be safe and secure, where they could live in peace, free from that danger and harm. And as I mentioned, we'll hear some of that in international talk on the international meeting point on Tuesday, if you're able to be there. But it must be hard to even imagine what it would be like to be transferred from such an oppressive, dark situation, a place like war-torn Syria, where everything is devastating, to be transferred from that into a place that is secure, a place where you can live your life, and there is hope. And this is the picture that Paul's painting here as he gives thanks to the Father for how these Christians in Colossae have been transferred from that place of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Paul could have used the term kingdom of God, or he could have used the term kingdom of heaven, but instead he's referred here to Christ's kingdom, because you see his focus is completely on Christ and all that he accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection. We have been transferred, if you're a Christian tonight, into his kingdom only because he has qualified us and because he has delivered us. Like those refugees, we are safe, we are secure in Christ, not only for the time on this earth, but for all eternity, because his victory brought about an eternal reign and rule that lasts forever. But there is still this sense of the already and not yet, as we live in this time, isn't there? We're already raised with Christ. Our life is already hidden in him, as mentioned at the start of chapter 3. But the consummation of God's kingdom has not finally been brought about yet. It is the not yet. We are still waiting for Christ's return, waiting for when that kingdom will come about in its full appearance and all its glory. 1 Corinthians 15 talks all about that. And in verse 24, we see where at the second coming of Christ, it says that he will deliver the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. What joy it is tonight if you can say that you've been transferred into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we're continuing in Christ, then we know that we will enter the kingdom of God for all eternity, in all its fullness, that we can live our lives now in anticipation of what is certainly going to come for those who believe and trust in him. But we still live in the not yet, in that time where we face trials, where we go through hardship, where you're aware of that pain of losing a loved one. We're still in that time when we go through broken relationships, where we deal with those issues in our family, where you realize how hard it is to come through periods of sickness and illness in your life, things that limit you and what you can do. See, these things are a reality in this time because everything has not yet been completed. The fullness of God's kingdom has not come because Christ has not yet returned. But one day he will. And we can only continue through these hard times in our life because we are certain of what is to come. that we can give thanks when we know that we have already been transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son. And we are certain of that glorious kingdom that is to come for all eternity. By His strength, He continues to hold us fast in that and to continue on day by day as we and His kingdom is brought to completion. So we've been qualified, we've been delivered, we've been transferred. Finally then, Paul gives thanks to the Father because in His beloved Son we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So we are redeemed is what we finally want to look at. And we can only be qualified and delivered and transferred because Christ has redeemed us and forgiven us of our sin through His shed blood. And that's a word, maybe redeemed, that we don't use very often in our daily language. You might say you redeem a voucher. Or maybe you say that someone, well, they've redeemed themselves after getting themselves in that bother before. But of course, as we've already seen, there's no way that we can redeem ourselves. There's no way that we can make ourselves fit for that kingdom of God. Because our sin disqualified us, it's held us captive as slaves. We're under that power of darkness. And there's no voucher, there's no credit of ourselves that's able to buy our way out of that. Nothing at all. So we're in need of someone who can take us out of that. And so when we understand this word redeemed, it gives us a better idea of what was involved to accomplish that great work. And this is a word that was used commonly in the time of slaves in the past as they were held captive. They could only be released from that slavery if they were bought back at a price. And again, it echoes that language of Exodus. Again, Exodus 6:6, God said, I will deliver you from slavery. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. Remember, Pharaoh's heart was really hardened. He was reluctant to let God's people go. And so after many warnings, after many plagues, He and those who continued to oppose God, well, they would face God's wrath and His judgment upon them. But yet in the midst of that, God provided a way for His people to be redeemed, to be rescued from that slavery, to be brought out from that oppression, to be delivered, to be free. But it would involve a sacrifice. And their redemption at that time was to be brought through selecting a perfect lamb, a lamb without blemish. They were to follow God's instruction, and the blood of that lamb was to be put on the doorpost and the frame of their houses. And as they would enter inside to their house, and through that blood, they were safe and secure. And so when God brought judgment across the land that night, He passed over those who trusted in His means of rescue. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and freed from captivity as they would then set off for the promised land. See, our true thankfulness to God comes when we realize that we were deserving of judgment and death because we were in opposition to God. We were His enemies, just like Pharaoh and those who followed him. But because of His great love and mercy for us, He redeemed us. He provided that means for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be redeemed. Hebrews 9 makes that clear, that this wasn't through the blood of animals, but through the blood of Christ, who has secured an eternal redemption. If you've been coming to the midweek, we heard about that on Wednesday night, of how much Jesus suffered, that Lamb of God who was wounded for our transgressions, who bled upon that cross, as He paid the ultimate price so that we could be redeemed through His shed blood, as He endured that in our place. Tonight, as we trust in all that He has accomplished through that death on the cross, it is only through that that we are qualified, that we are delivered, that we're transferred, and that we are redeemed. And as we reflect on these aspects of the gospel, let us merely never think that they are just summed up by colors, or that we can somehow graduate from this gospel message onto something better, that we can get past this message, because there is so much richness and a depth to it that we will never be able to fully grasp this side of eternity. See, this gospel is the fuel for our thankfulness. It's the means by which we continue to live this life that is worthy of the Lord. Hopefully tonight each one of us can truly give thanks to God for all that he has done for us in Christ, knowing that we are no longer disqualified, but qualified as righteous, no longer captive to the power of darkness, but delivered from it, no longer in that dark realm, but transferred into the kingdom of his Son, no longer slaves to sin, but redeemed and forgiven for all eternity. Maybe tonight you can't say that you give thanks for this, because this work of God has not yet taken place in your life. You're still held captive to sin. You're still subject to that power of darkness in your life. Maybe like that guy I met from primary school, you keep making excuses. You couldn't follow Christ because there's other things that are holding you back you don't want to give up on. Stop making excuses tonight. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. There is no other time to respond than tonight. And if you do, you can know that freedom, that deliverance, that wonderful life that is only possible through Christ Jesus. And that in him we are safe and secure for all eternity. And we look forward to that day when he returns to take his people to be with him in his kingdom. Let's give thanks to him and praise him for all he has done. Let's pray. Lord God, our hearts are filled with thankfulness tonight as we think about all that you have done for us in Christ. How through his shed blood on the cross, through that great work of atonement, that we have been qualified, we have been justified in your sight. We have been delivered from that power of sin and darkness. We have been transferred into that kingdom of your beloved Son. And Lord, we have that redemption, that forgiveness of sins. Lord, may we truly be able to rejoice tonight, knowing that that is true in our lives because you have changed us. You have done that great work in us by your Spirit, and you continue to work that out in our lives day by day. May we continue to keep this good news, this gospel message central in our lives. May we seek to live by it day by day as you change us to be more like our Savior. And Lord, as we look forward in anticipation to that day when Christ will return and everything will be brought to its fullness. So Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.